You're listening to the UM3D podcast, where we explore fresh ideas and real-world experiences that shape how we teach and learn. Recorded in the podcast studio at McWhirter Library, we bring you conversations with educators and experts to help you design, develop, and deliver high-quality instruction.
Welcome to the UM3D podcast, where we explore effective strategies for online teaching and learning. I'm your host, Lavani Perry Claibon, and today we're diving into mastering content presentation in online course design. Today's episode is perfect for anyone looking to improve student engagement and enhance their learning experience in online learning environments. We'll be exploring five key areas that can transform how you present content to your students and enhance their learning experience, aligning content with learning objectives, using consistent module structure, chunking content, creating multimedia, and promoting accessibility. Joining me today is Trish Lang, the Senior Instructional Designer with UM3D. Trish has helped faculty across multiple disciplines improve their content presentation strategies and boost student engagement. Welcome, Trish.
Hi, Lavani. Thank you.
Let's start with a fundamental concept in online course design. Content should always support learning objectives. Trish, how can faculty ensure this alignment happens effectively?
Well, this is fundamental, and you would be shocked to know how many people I talk to who don't have any learning objectives. So the first thing is you need to have a learning objective for your day. What are you teaching today? Once you have that learning objective, you will know what content you should have. If you find your content does not match your learning objective, that's when you discover you have issues.
Trish, I've heard you talk a lot about backward design. Talk a little bit about this backward design and when it comes to aligning content to learning outcomes. How do you go about that?
Well, backward design is simply starting with your end goal. So at the end of the day, what do you want your students to know? And that just so happens to be what learning objectives are. Again, once you know your learning objectives, you can start designing your course to meet the learning objectives for the entire course or for a certain module. So you'll take those learning objectives, use them to figure out what your content is going to be. Use them to, once you know your content, you know what your assessments are going to be. And just like that, you have an entirely designed course, right? It's never that easy, is it?
Awesome. How can faculty assess whether their content is actually supporting their learning objectives?
This is actually my favorite thing to do with any course. And it's because I get to talk to instructors and hear about how successful they already are with either an online class or an in-person class. And I always ask them, are you happy with all of your assessments? Do you have any one assessment that just isn't working out right, that you designed it to be a particular way and you expect your students to give you things in a particular manner, and they consistently don't do that? When you discover assessments that aren't functioning the way you initially designed, that's where we can discover whether content is working. So if all your assessments are working exactly the way you think they should work, guess what? Your content is actually supporting your learning objectives.
Let's talk about the importance of that consistent structure. Why does a consistent presentation structure matter so much in an online course?
Especially at the University of Memphis with the global program, all of our online courses should have the same presentation structure. It's called the M50 template. And what this does is it ensures that our global students, when they go to any M50 global class, they know what to expect structure-wise. And this template gives you some basic things, but there's plenty of room inside that template for you, the developer, to put your own spin on things.
Thank you, Trish, for mentioning the M50 template. What elements should be included in every module to create that consistency when they're using that template?
When you're using the M50 template, so it includes a bunch of things. It has a welcome page, so students know they're in the right spot. It has a getting started module, which is essentially your syllabus but broken down into multiple pages. And then at a modular level, it has the most important thing, I think, which is an overview and to-do list. Instead of you emailing your students, hey, this week we're doing this, or putting in an announcement, which I see a lot, we put it in every module so students can see in this module. So here we are in module 4. This is what we're doing in module 4. Here are our learning objectives for module 4. And here is a to-do list that will ensure what the students know exactly what they need to do to successfully complete that module. It takes the guesswork out of what is expected of you as a student while providing plenty of interesting things for the students to do and learn in your class.
Great. Trish, I've heard you talk a lot about chunking and why that's important. Will you talk a little bit about that importance of chunking, specifically why it's so important?
Absolutely. So chunking is the art. I'm going to call it an art. The art of taking all of your content that you want your students to learn in a particular module and chunking it into smaller logical pieces. It helps the students understand how your information flows together. So you can't just throw them every single thing. You need to divide it into small pieces. Think of like an outline that you would make for anything. And so anything that would go under the A category of your outline, that's its own chunked piece. Anything would go under the B section of your outline, that's its own small chunked piece. And it just really helps your students know how to start processing that information.
Hey, thank you for that, Trish. As you're talking, we're thinking about two additional questions that our audience might have, and that is, what's the science behind chunking? And a second question being, how does chunking content play a role in the cognitive load theory and working memory?
All right. So cognitive load theory is a theory that says everyone only has so much space in their working memory to do anything. And because of that, we need to make sure that we are presenting materials in such a way that the student's working memory is focused on the subject at hand, at what you want them to know, versus how they're going to get there. M50 template really helps with cognitive load in that the students don't have to figure out, what am I doing this week? They have that in the overview and to-do list. And then their working memory can be spent on learning your content.
Let's move on to multimedia. What are some effective ways to use video and other media to enhance learning?
Well, most people know that Canvas includes a feature called Studio, but a shocking number of people on campus don't know about this yet, so I always make sure people know about Studio. Studio is Canvas's video creator. Everyone has access to it, including your students, and you can use it to create video and screencasts as well. These things can be added to your Canvas course really easily. We embed them, which also helps with cognitive load. So when we embed a video, it's within the Canvas page. It's not some random link the students click on. They're not sure what's going to happen. I really love the whole embedding. The other thing you can do with Studio is it can build quizzes off of your video. So you can add quizzes there. And if you don't want to do quizzes, which I do love for the lower level division courses, but maybe your upper level division courses, maybe you don't need to be doing quizzes at that length or at that level, it has data insights. So you can actually see which of your students have been in there and for how long. So if you have a video and you're wondering, has my student ever looked at this? And you know, if they have looked at this, how are they still not getting this concept? And you go back in there and you see your data insight tells you no one's looked at it. You've identified your problem. I'm a big fan of data insights using Studio.
Awesome. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned data insights because we want our students to watch the videos. So what tips do you have for creating videos that students might want to watch?
My biggest tip is to make them fairly short. So people ask me all the time, what's the optimal length for a video? And my easiest answer is long enough to present your content, but it needs to be just one piece of your content. Don't try to do 6 different things at one time and call it a long video. That doesn't work. So just give us one piece. There's a couple reasons behind that. Not only does it help with our students' attention span, which none of us have great attention spans these days, I'm sorry to say, but it also helps when your student comes back to review. I want them to be able to find what they need right away. So if you have a really long video on 6 different topics and they just need to review one of those topics, they're going to be frustrated they can't get to it. The other thing I tell people is, especially those who are newer to doing online courses, is you are not required to talk on video the same amount of time you would talk in an in-person class. So if you teach a 3-hour symposium, you do not have to make a 3-hour video. Not at all. In a 3-hour symposium, I'd like to think you're not there standing in front of the class the entire time, talking. And if so, you got some great students there. But you're talking to your students. Your students are talking to you, and you're reiterating a lot of things. When you have a video, you only have to say it one time. Your students can always rewind. The other thing to make a video students want to watch, please provide captions. It's super simple in Studio to do that. Or if you're one of those people who don't feel comfortable just talking at a video camera or your computer as it is, and you prefer to have a script, use that script as a transcript. All these things, and of course, I already mentioned embedding. Do those things. You will have students that actually watch your videos.
Well, awesome tips, Trish. Thank you for sharing that. Let's move on to a brief discussion on designing accessible course materials. We'll have a future podcast that will focus on accessibility, but for today, we're going to just talk about some key components that are very brief. So, Trish, would you share what some of those accessible content presentation components are within the Canvas pages?
Sure. So accessibility has become both easier and more difficult, I think. The easier part is that a lot of it is done automatically for you. The more difficult part is that because it's so easy, there is a whole lot more to provide. So let's start with the simplest. And the simplest is, if you use Canvas Pages, your courses are going to meet the bare minimum of accessibility. Canvas Pages have correct fonts, correct font colors, and correct layouts. And that used to be difficult for faculty to provide. It's super simple now.
Great. Trish, if there was one accessibility improvement that faculty could implement today that would make a big difference, what would it be?
So one thing that anyone can do, if you've got a Canvas page, there's something called the accessibility checker. Click on it. If it tells you to do something, do it. It will guide you through correcting things like tables and headings, which both sound boring as all get out, and nobody has the time to do, but you do have the time to do it, and your students do deserve it.
Well, Trish, thank you for joining us today. We've covered a lot of ground. I have just one other question that I'd like to ask, and that is, if faculty could focus on just one aspect of content presentation to improve right away, what would you recommend?
I only get to pick one.
Oh.
Two. I'm going to do two.
Okay.
The first thing I'd say is start small. You don't have to redo an entire class. You don't have to design an entire class. Just start small, maybe with an assessment that needs something. But more importantly, actually, if I could get everybody who had an online class or even an in-person class to create an overview and to-do list for every module, I would be very happy. That overview and to-do list makes such a difference in the running of your course and your students' ability to navigate your course.
So if our listeners wanted to learn more about these strategies, where might they go?
Well, of course, they can contact UM3D. We're always happy to help. And I suspect you're going to have things in the show notes. Am I right?
Yes. Thank you, Trish, for being with us today and sharing these valuable insights. To our listeners, remember that effective content presentation isn't just about aesthetics. It's about creating an environment where learning can happen efficiently and meaningfully. In our show notes that Trish just mentioned, you'll find links to resources mentioned today, including templates, accessibility tools, and multimedia creation guides. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share with your colleagues who might benefit. Join us next time. Until then, keep designing with your students in mind.
Thanks for listening to the UM3D podcast. For more information, check us out at memphis.edu/UM3D.